Go racing now.
And stakes day at Randwick on Saturday. Nick Burney, good morning to you. The track overnight back into a soft five range, but it's going to be a very, very tough card of racing to dissect.
Yeah, hello to you, Brody, and everyone listening on in. Yeah, it's a bit of a tricky meeting, but I do think there is a couple of improving types we can find throughout it. And just with that, there is a lot of big prices throughout. So if you can find a couple of winners, you will have a good day.
Now, the rail's out 6 metres. The last time we're here, also in soft conditions, this was on the 4th of March. It was Canterbury Stakes and Randwick Guineas Day, Artorias and Communists taking out the features. Now, you've got some stats on where you think the winners might be coming from. That day was a little bit fence and run early, but they ended up getting off the fence towards the end of the day. Of course, Jow Lee taking out the last there with the protest.
Yeah, just on that day, I couldn't agree more. That was on speed and those horses were performing above market expectation, but the track actually went off probably around race 7 and they started to edge off slightly. So it came down more than, not in the middle of the track, but just right off that fence. And probably the same thing tomorrow, I'm anticipating early. But yeah, we'll just see how it goes throughout the day. But we haven't been at the 6 metre rail for a while, so just definitely monitor throughout.
Because we've seen the last few couple of Randwick meetings, you have wanted to be off the fence. So I think horses blending in the race, especially these winter months, should be suited.
Yeah, and usually when that rain does hit at Randwick, you do want to just edge off slightly.
Right, the headline that comes up in race number 9, the penultimate. 1100 metre benchmark 78, Ina Merck has won back-to-back races this campaign, looking to build that picket fence to make it 3 on the bounce. 61 kilograms allotted will carry the 58 following Amy McLucas's 3 kilogram claim.
Yeah, I'm with Oana Merck. I think he's one of the better bets of the day. The 230, very well found now. So I think it has to get out slightly. But what about the picket fence? 2 from 2 as a gelding. And I thought it wore down a smart Group 3 winner there in Caboo, who, if it was in the listed Civic Stakes, I thought would have been very hard to beat. So he always had to face the breeze that day in a good even tempo, and I just really liked when he balanced up and asked for it to accelerate. He immediately did. He's got a great sectional profile, brings the best last start figure, and just a quick comparison on the day against the midway, they did run 4 lengths faster, and then that margin to third really confirmed the quality of the race. So I think he's going to be really hard to beat here, just for the fact is some of these other fancies are drawn wide. So Amy McLucas goes on, she can just sit midfield or hopefully handy and just wait, and when the gap comes, push through and really be strong there late. So just that tactical map advantage. But I do think we'll trade better on the day. But how did you say it, mate?
It's going to be a fast pace, isn't it? Insurrection Omni Man come through the same race at Warwick Farm last start. Do you expect both of those horses to be lit up from wide gates?
I think they have to. Yeah, I really do. I think they have to go forward. I think Omni Man clearly, I know it won, got the better of Insurrection there. Right on the line, actually pulled away late. So it's hard to probably see them turning the tables. I can't really see the discrepancy there in the market. But the thing was with Insurrection, did SP clearly 220 favourite, I believe, and was actually quite soft there late. So might have needed the run and will obviously come on from it. But for me, Iona Merck is kind of a bomb-proof horse and it's got a few attributes that I really like. So I'm happy to be with it on top. But yeah, are you with it on top or are you looking somewhere else?
I've certainly got it on top. I'd love to get a little bit better than $2.30, but he's the sort of horse that you'd suggest will get out in the market, but in the end doesn't because he ticks every box. He's got very good young apprentice aboard, drawn softly gate number 5, good speed. He's going to land a pair or two back, just hopefully off the fence for its supporters, and it's going to have the perfect run in transit. One horse I'm kicking up for is Narito. Now, still needs a couple of scratchings to get a start in the race, but 2 trials this campaign have been sensational. Now, this 4-year-old, you look back 2 preparations ago when he won his first couple of starts at Wyong and Newcastle, stamped himself as a really, really talented horse of the future. Has a very firm SP of $3.50 against Democracy Manifest that campaign before failing at Rose Hill. Now, came back last preparation with sensational first up behind Passagiata. Slightly disappointing at Randwick behind Diamond Dealey. We put a line through that and then bled last start at Randwick on the Kensington track. Wheels heavily back through our betting to defeat Insurrection. So you can easily tie in that horse with Insurrection, and usually off the bleed, horses do come back really fit. So from gate number 10, he's going to lap up the strong speed. Whether or not he gets a run, still no jockey book just yet.
Yeah, I think that's a great point you make, and it's a really good point about that SP against Insurrection. And I couldn't add anything more. Just when they come back as bleeders, it's going to be forward and ready to go.
For Zanini, I kicked up for last start in tougher company. Gate number 11, could see her running a race, but I think it's all about Ina Merck here. The headline act, $2.30. You know, what price do you think he might start? Do you think he's going to be one of the horses that the market really wants to stamp on the way up through the grades? Or do you think the traders might take him on?
Look, I probably think he's a $6 to $4, $2.60 chance, which he might get to. Like, I think the absolute top would be $2.80. I couldn't see it getting any longer than that. Time of record, obviously, without the scratchings. Well, I think the $2.30, it's short enough, but you think he will get out. But it's just one of these horses where before the 9 a.m. and the bigger players get really involved late, that everyone's circled, they're just getting involved now. So the tab probably have to just, you know, keep him safe at the moment, but we'll just see how it plays out on the day.
Head comes up in race number 8 shortly after is the feature, the listed Civic Stakes over the 1400 metres. Waihaha Falls versus Kota Healy now get an easy form line to tie in this pair in. They come through the same trial but different form lines behind that. Cisco Bay is the other horse firm in betting, just getting out slightly this morning out to $7 now as I speak. But Waihaha Falls versus Kota Healy, how do you split the pair?
Look, you can make a case for both. But firstly, I just want to ask you, they trialled on Tuesday. For me, I thought Cody Healy got the better of Waihaha Falls. I just really liked how Tommy Sherry just gave it half a click. He just immediately responded, went through the line well. But how did you see that trial? Did you lean one way?
I liked Waihaha Falls' piece of work, but yeah. I really like Cody Healy's. I think he was really good through the line, shot up the inside there. Really good piece of work. Defeated Sweet Ride by half a length, who's not a bad sprinter in itself. And it's run before that at Rose Hill. Now, I was keen on it first up to defeat Tamerlane and was really disappointing. And then, of course, at Rose Hill, the start after struck a heavy track. It was better behind Coal Crusher. But ridden with the sit, this horse has just shown a really good turn of foot, not only at the races, but at the trials.
Yeah, Cody Healy, outside leader first up, outside leader second up. And that's always hard to do, especially early in the preparation, but and also even enough tempos. But just ridden cold, just when it went back there last start, and just it had no right to win. And just the way it really accelerated through that gap, one of the fastest last 200s of the day, as you would expect to win that race. It was impressive. They've got the wide gate. What do they do from there? He's an adaptable type. But I think they should just ride him either cold, or if they're going to push, they have to find cover. They have to find cover. I think that's the key to him. But drops to 54 kilos as well. Now, when horses get down to that weight and they can accelerate, that's a big tick for me. So on that, I'm going to lean towards Cody Healy, but the rain overnight's a big plus for Waihaha Falls, who actually gets really well in at the weights, I thought. He's just been crying out for that rain.
He's a Randwick horse too, isn't
he? Yeah. Do you think he's going as good though?
I don't think so. I really do not think so. His form lines, three preparations ago, he trialled sensationally leading to them when he bolted in on a couple of occasions, stamped himself as maybe a spring player, started for $6 in the Sydney Stakes there at Randwick on Everest Day, was sensational from the back, was going to start probably favourite for the Hunter before he didn't get a run, and then, of course, ran second behind Sky Command at Randwick. Couple of really good runs, but this preparation, I think he's going quite well. I don't know if he's going as well, and the wide draw is a massive, massive knock to this horse. I'm kicking up the Cisco Bay. Now, gate number 2 has to be a worry, drawing the inside, especially if they are edging off the fence, but this horse was good last start, blending into the race. I think he's the horse with the least knocks in the race. Long Villiers, I'd love to get your thoughts on this, because in the 5 diamonds behind Ellsberg, he was sensational. Eased up out of the Ingham behind Kerwin's Lane, has trialled up fairly. Chris Waller from a wide gate, I wouldn't be surprised if they scratch, but $15 into $7.50 as soon as the markets went up, very well found.
Yeah, I can see that, the gelding op, but it just comes down to, it started $16 in a Group 2 Ingham, so that's a very good lead, and as that first debut run, it was sensational there behind Ellsberg, so look, it's probably suited over more ground. If it drew softer, I'd almost have a top pick just so it could settle midfield. But we know Waller Wide Jaws has to go back. Might just be the run it needs, because can it probably sprint harder than Waihaha Falls, who's got a few runs under its belt? I'm not sure. But yeah, and on Cisco Bay, I understand that as well. Like, there's so many different angles you can look at this race. Just for me with it, it was run to suit, came down the outside. So everyone saw it. That's how I looked at the race. But it was 21s to 13s. It's got really great Randwick form, as you said. So I can completely agree how you could have a top pick. And you could keep going around in circles in this race. That's what I'm getting at.
And there's one you've spec for on the inside, Low Draw, Danny Beasley Steers, you called it, who was good last start, a sneaky little run behind Lady of Luxury.
Yeah, that just might be the one if you're looking for one at a bit of odds that you could play. And I just think he's just had nothing go right all preparation, finally gets a good gate, can settle this nice and close, and gets to the 1,400 metres, which it looks ideal. And just down on that 55, just might be able to run a race at odds.
The Fly in the Ointment comes up early in the card. Race number 3, the Stayers Cup. Benchmark 90, 2,600 metres the journey. And the Victorian visitor, Wahini Toa, comes over second up. Right up in trip early. Ran first up over the 2,000. Was good behind Shayar, albeit started monster odds. $61 then. $2.80 with the tab. They backed it in from $4. And it currently heads betting over the stablemate Strawberry Rock.
Yeah, I know you have to price every race on its own merits, but it's hard for me to come in at the 280 Wahini Toa when it is coming off a $61 SP and also has to now up to Sydney, up in grade against some I think stronger opposition. So I think the 280 has been well found. It was run to suit, did find the line well, but it was probably just that flashy horse again. So just when they do that, I'm looking somewhere else, but only gets in with 51 kilos. So I can understand why some of the weights guys would really want to lean towards it, but I'm just going to go for one at a bit of odds here. Shameless Miss won this race last year, and just its last two runs, it's sprinted really hard between the 6 to the 2 and just peaked on its run there late. I think this has just been a set play all along by Chris Waller. I think it's ready to do something. 2,600 metres, rock hard fit, fourth up. I think the $8 is a fair enough quote. I'd rather just play that than taking a short odds in a staying race with Wahini Toa. But yeah, that's how I saw it. What about you, mate?
Yeah, it's a very, very interesting race. Now, I want to speak on a midweek race we saw about 10 days ago at Randwick Kensington. Oz Legend won that race. Fun fact comes through it. Do you see those form lines standing up here at all?
I think they're definitely thereabouts. I actually had Fun Fact ahead. I had fourth pick. I thought, as we were talking about before we were recording, it was pretty strong through the line there. I know you talked to Jet Stanley. You can give us a bit of insight there. But I think Fun Fact, Adam Hieronymus is booked. Go hard early. Really build the race. Build through his sectionals. I don't think it's a sit and sprint type. If you're doing that, you're just playing into the other runners. Attributes.
Yeah, I think Chantelle Buckley said in an interview, Jet rode a winner after, and she asked about this horse, and I think Jet said he'd become a bit disinterested in the gates, and I think it was his maybe, like, if he failed, the camp might have just pulled the plug on his career. He's had such good career, won just shy of $1 million, and I think they might have thought that's it. But Jet set him off a little bit early into the race, made a little bit of a mid-race room, put him in the race, and he rolled forward at a good pace, and if you watch through the line, he's kicking back hard after he looked like he was gone at the turn, and straight after the post, just kept on going. So I think maybe they might give him one last chance. Hippo aboard. He's the perfect front-running rider. Just go out hard. Give this horse absolutely every chance to run out the trip as strong as he can and maybe catch a couple of these others out. Oz Legend was good last start, and if you isolate his 2,400-meter form and above, he's got a quite nice form line. They all come through the same race. Oz Legend out Landos. Shameless Miss, couple of starts before that at Rose Hill when Outlandos did win. So they're very tineable, and it's a typical winter staying race, isn't it?
Absolutely.
All right, we're going to head a little bit wide here. Newcastle hosted an interesting 8-race card on Saturday, and you've got the best bet for us in race number 6.
Yeah, we're at race number 6. We're going to go with number 2, Missile Max. Now, it is coming off a maiden win, has to step to that class 1 and also do it away from his home track there at Hawkesbury, but I really like this win. Returned clearly a career peak figure there first up. And what I really noticed, and we talked about again before, how heavily backed he was late in the trade. Sevens to around $4.20, $4.50 mark. So he was very well fancied, but just the way he did it, he's still learning and working it all out. But that final 200 metres, fastest last 200 of the day, there was just so much merit in that. And just the way he went through the line said, he can only step off this performance. So I think he's one to follow. He's still working it all out. He's even going to be better through time. But I think he's a really good bet from an inside gate. And if he gets the breaks, he'll be hard to beat. But I'm going to go to Monday as well. We're going to go all the way to Dubbo, Dub Vegas. Maryland Bridge, race 3, number 8. I think Aaron Bullock goes on. I think this horse will be really hard to beat there. I think it's 6-4 now, $2.50. I think it'll start much shorter. So I think it's a really good play there on a Monday if you're looking for a bet up to the 1,100. Look out.
Beautiful. I'm going to stay at Newcastle, race number 5, After Boomer. I think this horse for the Nebel Nisham team is ready to win. 3-year-old gelding. He had a couple of runs over the 1,200 metres behind Hiati and Smart Legend. Had to carry a couple of big weights. He drops from the 60 back down to the 59. But I think more importantly, goes 1,500 back to 1,400 out of a fast run race behind Queen Astrid. Led them up at good pace. Was absolutely smashed in betting. Now, we were both really keen on Queen Astrid, and I was getting a little bit nervous because this horse, I think it was $4 into $2.50 overall, barely any scratchings too. So the market gapped everything else apart from Queen Astrid and After Boomer. I think gate number 4, it's going to roll forward lead. Absolutely nothing in this race scares me.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I'm with After Boomer as well. And just on that race, I couldn't agree more. I was like, why are they still so close in the market? So we know that the market likes this horse. They respect its past form. And just on Halavan, he is riding in sensational form. So it's a pretty good jockey to have on.
Absolutely. He's riding really well. You look at Amnesty. I think he's been aboard Amnesty its last few runs, and especially its race at Gosford on Thursday. Gave it an absolute peach, nailing a short price favourite.
Yep. Thanks for putting that one in. Time to boogie. Just to put the knife in there.
Don't worry. I'm stabbing myself at the same time. All right, the best bet at Randwick on Saturday, Nick, comes up towards the middle of the card. A Godolphin Galloper racing in form.
No, the best bet, I'm going to go in the last, actually. I'm going to go.
I butchered it there, haven't I?
That's all right.
I'm still thinking of Ray Hickson. Shout out to you, Ray. Contemporary, your best bet. I'm touching on that race myself very shortly. Speak about a Galloper second up after just being gelded.
Yeah, really keen. 10-17, Green Shadows. Now, we need one more scratching, but I think we'll get it. I think we'll get the scratching. Surely get the scratching. I thought his return had a lot of merit. Now, he uncharacteristically missed the start, which he's only ever done once in his career before. He was first up, just raced fresh, and I wanted to over race after that as well, and travelled in the inferior ground and was checked and blocked in the straight, and he still came out to, obviously the winner fierce and bolted in that day, but he still came out to try and win the race. And I just liked how he picked up over that final furlong. He's since had a lovely trial on Tuesday, favourable map, and I can only see him improving off that effort. And if he does, I think he's awfully hard to beat. Yes, he's going to need luck from gate one, and we'll have to see how the track's playing. But if you run this race 100 times, I think the $3 is a really good bet. I could mark him much shorter with a 2 in front of his name. Green Shadows, I think he's above this level. I think he's above benchmark 78 level. Second up, I think he's ready to go.
Yeah, I've been really keen on this horse for a long time. If you could map him absolutely perfectly, where would you love him to land?
Look, I think realistically, fifth defence. I'd obviously love him to have third defence, but I think he'll jump with them. I think he'll be fifth defence, smoking the pipe. I know there's not too much speed, but he can sprint well. If they want to put speed into the race, he can sprint off the slow and fast tempos, and he's going to be really strong late there, just going off that trial on Tuesday as well. And what was it, the 3-year-old Magic Millions? The Goldie.
Magic Millions Guineas.
Started $26 in that. That's a big plus.
He's outstanding. I backed him all last couple of preparations. His run behind Kovaliki was nailed on the line then, but he had to absorb a fast pace, stalk them, got nailed by what might be a very, very good stayer. And then he was very unlucky at Randwick. That was just on Christmas Eve behind Kenazana, and apart from that, it's been awfully unlucky. I think if the gaps go his way, gelded now second up, a little bit of freshness in his legs, I think he'd run a massive race.
And I'm just going to mention one horse, number 4, Harrow. I'm going to have something small in it as well. I just think it's over the odds.
All right, race number 4 is my trialer of the weekend, and a shout out to Ray Hickson, Contemporary. I got mixed up with your best bet having a chat with Ray shortly before off air. He's keen on the Godolphin Galloper deep in preparation, bringing that Devil's Throat form lines. But if you look down the board, Hollywood Hero, currently shopping $9 now. It's been absolutely friendless with the tab. I love this horse's trials this campaign. Over the 737, he's a son of Sacred Falls. He's a mile winner. He's going to get out of it further. That was just a fairly nice piece of work, but it was his latest trial alongside Shalaled and Smart Legend, two horses deep into a preparation. I know Shalaled has been racing fairly, but Smart Legend won again on Saturday at Kembla Grange. He's racing really well, Smart Legend. Hollywood Hero didn't have the race fitness, went through the line strongly between the pair. He broke his maiden over the mile, defeating Gorgeous Zara and ODV last preparation after taking a while to break through. Was a money muncher before that. Contested the Group 1 Randwick Guineas, where he was specced in betting. He wasn't really a chance that day, but he looks like he's come back much better. $9, 1,300 metres. He might find a little bit short, but he looks a perfect grafted Guineas horse to me.
Yeah, that's a great point. I think the $9, if you like his trial, I think you have to spec him there. Such a consistent galloper. I know he finished down the track in the Group 1, but was 31-26, so there was something there. And I think Grafton Guineas is a really good point you make. But most importantly, mate, I am looking forward to your best bet, which you have come in the midway, and I thought it was the hardest race of the day, but you've just said, no, this is easy, $7.50, away you go.
Oh, I wouldn't say it's easy. I need a Jason Collett special.
I thought you said you had it evens.
I didn't say it either. Odds on, load the cannons.
Yeah.
I think One Destiny, he's going real good, speaking off air about this race had come out of. It's really highly rating, wasn't it?
Yes.
Bubba's Bay and Hide You By.
Yeah, Bubba's Bay or Hide You By, it'll be winning next start.
So One Destiny, hopefully it'll be winning next start tomorrow. It just settled towards the rear of the field, was restrained a little bit back from the wide gate, balanced up, hit the line strongly. This horse took a long time to break through, but since he has, he's been sensational. 1,200 metres, 1,000 metres, wet ground, good ground, soft ground. He won at Goulburn, defeating Donegal Lights in strong fashion before sprinting very hard at Gosford, running some scintillating time late. I think he's going really well. 1,100 metres, I think, is his sweet spot. Every other horse in the field, we know where their ceiling is. The top weight fielding was my main danger, but you highlighted before, no official trial, and yep, he has the synthetic hoof filler on.
Yeah, I came back to fielding because that does concern me. It's a key late market watch fielding. I came back to fielding because you go through his form, and he started $15 behind Kyobe in a provincial midway heat, which was a very strong heat there at Gosford, since produced six subsequent winners, and then also then went to Wyong, was in the market again. So that's why I thought he's a class runner, and a race that I thought lacked a bit of depth, but I had One Destiny clear second pick. I thought they were the two. I went back and I was trying to find why this horse has improved so much in its last three starts, but it's just a new animal. It's absolutely flying. I think the $7.50 is a really good bet, and I can understand how you can make a really strong case for it.
Yeah, I'm really keen. So my day will be decided at about 11 a.m. flat Saturday morning.
How good's that?
How good's that? All right, now we have one question from the audience as well. Now, leading into the spring, of course, we saw Tutta La Vita win last weekend. It wasn't as impressive at the market. Might have expected from a short price favourite, but it was a bit of karma following the start beforehand. A question from Dean: how far can she go into the spring, Tutta La Vita? And is there any other two-year-olds turning three in the next couple of months you're really keen to follow?
Yeah, look, I think she's obviously going to have to improve next preparation to win a Group 1, but I think she's on that right trajectory. And the thing about it is, you listen to Chris Waller in his post-race, he never talks about horses the way like he's talking about her. So they've obviously got a massive rap on her. Clearly, the flight stakes seems like the logical target. She was ridden out of her comfort zone. She's still learning, wanted to get on the wrong leg a little bit there last start, and just got slightly lost. But the way she put that last 50, there was a bit of merit there. I know the overall time wasn't solid, but the back end was strong enough for me to say she can keep stepping. She's clearly going to be better suited, ridden with cover, up in distance. I think she's definitely one for the future. And as I said, she still needs to improve, but all indicators says she's going to come back better next preparation. But the one for me going forward would be Celestial Legend. I think it's a really nice horse for Les Bridge, and I'm excited to see it back in the spring. But yourself, mate, anything?
I think Estriella, who won at Gosford on Thursday, I think she's really smart. The fact John Allen went for the ride.
Yes.
He's a very good push, and in the same silks as Tutta La Vita as well. I think, and also Gelatin on Saturday, he probably should have won. And the fact they scratched from Kembla Grange to Hawkesbury to run at Rose Hill on Saturday was just a great push from the camp to say this horse is right up to it. But I think there's some very, very nice horses, and I don't think it's going to stop. Just a little bit of pointer, there's a horse called Lady King trialling at Canterbury on Monday for John O'Shea. I think she's very, very smart. She's only had a couple of short trials. Hopefully we'll see her out over a little bit longer very shortly, but I think we're going to see a lot of very good two-year-olds continue to be rolled out.
Yeah, well, it just sounds when those futures markets come out, you'll just be pressing the button. Just refresh and keep pressing the button.
Absolutely. Look forward to it. Nick Burney, thank you very much, mate. It's been a pleasure once again.
Yeah, thank you to you too, mate. And most importantly, good luck to everyone having a bet over the weekend and Monday.